Day to 1 John chapter 5, and I'd say there'd be a lot of New Year's messages preached today or next Sunday one, and we might get one today and next Sunday. I don't know. We'll see how the Lord leads, but I will say I really enjoyed the missionary last Sunday. What a blessing that was to meet Brother Reed and get the fellowship with him, and that is just amazing. What the Lord has done in their ministry and how that they operate by faith and do the work that they do. Just amazing. And so that was really a blessing. I enjoyed meeting them and getting to know them a little bit. We certainly need to remember those ministries in our prayers. But today, for us, I believe that the Lord would have us to go to 1 John chapter 5. We're going to read two verses. And then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. 1 John chapter 5, we're going to read verses 4 and 5, and then we'll pray. The Bible said, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for your blessings. Thank you for letting us be here today. Dear Lord, I pray and ask that you would be in everything that's said and done. I pray, Lord, that you'd help, that you'd bless in the preaching of thy word. Lord, we ask that you'd be with the many objects that's been mentioned today. Lord, be with the Greer family especially. We pray for them. Brother Patrick's family, Lord, be with them, help them, comfort them. Lord, we're thankful for your blessings. I'm thankful for your grace, Lord, that you are able and that the grace of God is sufficient in all that we do. Father, we ask for your help, your blessing. Speak to our hearts. If there be one here today that's lost, I pray that you'd show them their great need of salvation. And dear God, I pray that you'd help us as thy people, that we would believe your word more every day, that we'd have greater faith, that we might have greater victory in you. And so we ask for your help today. I ask for freedom and liberty to preach. We ask it all in Jesus' name and amen. Let's read verse number 4 one more time. We'll start there today. The Bible says again, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." And I wonder today how many of us have really ever considered that if you are a child of God, now I'm talking about a true believer, that's what these verses are talking about. If we take time to read and study them out, it's talking about somebody that is a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever considered that according to the Bible, you are a winner? That's what it's talking about here in verse number 4. Look at the wording of the verse. "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory." There's some words in this message you ought to underline in your Bible. "This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Notice the words "overcomer" there, "overcometh the world." Then there's the word "victory" as well. I was doing some studying on different words. I looked up the word "victor" in the dictionary. The dictionary says that a victor is one who wins. Then I looked up the word "win," W-I-N. To win means this, to gain the victory. So a victor is a winner. And a winner has the victory. It's the same thing that it's talking about. Another verse in the Bible. I started to use this as my text verse, but 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57 says, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." There it is again. We have been given the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. For a child of God, the checkered flag has already been waved on our behalf. We've been given the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
The Bible says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 37, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us." A conqueror, if you study that out, a conqueror is one who gains the victory. So he's a winner. Somebody that's victorious is a conqueror. And on through the Bible, we could go and give different examples. Jesus said in John 16:33, He said to the disciples, He said, "In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." You're overcomers, conquerors. We have the victory by and through the Lord Jesus Christ. According to the Bible, we're on the winning side. My question this morning is, why is it so many times we don't act like we're on the winning side? And you have to be honest, if you know anything about being around Christians, and I think most everybody does, a lot of times we don't act like we're on the winning side. Why are there so many defeated Christians in the world? I mean, there's people that are defeated in their life. They just cannot get victory over any circumstance, anything. Things that have happened in the past, things that are going on in the present, sin in their lives. I could give many examples today. Christians who go on in defeat. They have no victory in life. They have no victory in their prayer life. You know, we ought to be able to come together quite often and say, "The Lord answered my prayer." Should we not be able to do that as the children of God if we believe God hears and answers our prayers? But many do not seem to have any success whatsoever in their prayer life. They're defeated in their life. Defeated in their prayer life, defeated in soul winning, never win anybody to the Lord, never try, seems, to win anybody to the Lord. We ought to be trying to win somebody to the Lord, and I know there's not many, we might say, but every once in a while, we ought to be able to say, "Thank God so-and-so got saved, been praying for him. Been trying to witness to them, and they come to the Lord." We ought to have victory in faith. We ought to have victory in our attitude. We ought to have victory in our outlook. There are many that claim to be saved, claim to be on the winning side. You know, we sing that song sometimes, "I'm on the winning side." We sing it all the time here. We sing "Victory in Jesus," number 120 in the red back book. We could stand up and sing it. We wouldn't even have to have the words before us, but we sing the song. But so many live in defeat. And I got to thinking about that and studying about that and asking myself the question, why, if we have the victory according to the Word of God, do we go on so many times in a state of defeat and with no victory in our lives? And I got to thinking about this. Could it be there's a learning curve when it comes to learning how to win? Learning how to win. For example, if you had a professional athlete and they'd been on the losing team, and maybe they played for 5 or 6 years, and every year they come in last place, but they're a pretty good player, and one year they get traded to the championship team. They get traded to the winning team. Now, technically, they are, just by being on the team, they're a winner. Isn't that right? But practically, they've had very little experience in winning, and they're going to have to learn what it means to win. And I believe it's the same thing in a Christian's life. We've been on the losing side. When you get saved by the grace of God, you get put on the winning side. But a lot of times we bring our losing tendencies over to the winning side. We need to learn how to win. And I want to try to preach on that this last Sunday of the year, 2014. Just a simple subject, learning to win. That's what I want to try to preach on today. The Bible, abundant examples of the fact that according to the Bible, we're on the winning side. So let me point out some things about learning to win. I believe that'd be all right to preach on that. I want to say, first of all, there's the mentality of winning. Look in verse number 4. The Bible says, for whatsoever is born of God. That's talking about being born again. You remember Jesus said, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Say, preacher, I know what you're talking about. I've been saved. I've been born again. Well, according to the Word of God, if you are born of God, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. The Bible states it, that we're on the winning side, that we have victory by and through the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to just begin today by saying it's all right to talk about winning. It's all right to talk about victory in Jesus. It's all right to sing the song, and it's good to have the mindset of being victorious by and through the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember one time Preacher Carl preached a message, and I think he preached it here. It's been a long, long time ago, but I believe we came over on a Sunday night probably and just to visit, and I believe he preached the message from this pulpit. What's wrong with being right? Does anybody remember that? I know I heard it somewhere. It's either here or Mountaindale. He preached on that subject. What's wrong with being right? What's wrong with being on the right side? What's wrong with being right according to the Word of God? It's a great message and sort of along the lines that I'm trying to preach this morning. But what is wrong with being right? What is wrong with saying we have victory in Jesus and thinking like it and living like it and acting like it? There's a mental aspect to this winning thing. I don't know. We've had our experience with children playing sports. And I don't think I like this when they start out and they start playing soccer, or they start playing t-ball or basketball or whatever the case might be, that when they very first start out now, and I don't believe it's always been this way, but they say when they're starting out, now we're not keeping score. And nobody wins and nobody loses when the little ones come together and play. I don't think that's a good idea, because I guarantee you if they're old enough to dribble a basketball, they've done figured out that there's such a thing as winning and losing. And they might as well learn early what that is. Now that's a good time to teach them how to be good sports, how to be a good winner, and how to be a good loser. And that'll take you a long ways in life as well, because we're all going to lose from time to time. But really and truly, we ought to hate it. Well, I don't like to lose, do you? I want to live and I want to act in such a way as to win. Now, every once in a while, I'll let Chloe win chutes and ladders or something like that, but really, I just want to get it over with. You played chutes and ladders or Candyland or something like that, but we're not talking about that kind of thing today. But I wonder if we're not teaching our young people that it's wrong to win. Because let me tell you, you go to a little soccer game or basketball game, and they'll say, now, we're not keeping score, but you know everybody does. They'll be sitting there, and they're keeping score in their mind, and as soon as you get done, somebody will say, now who won? Well, that team won, but we're not supposed to keep score. But everybody does. Everybody realizes that what is at stake, and I think we're teaching our young people, and so that bleeds over into our society almost, that it's wrong to win or to talk about being victorious, but it's just a part of life. In life, we don't go around and say, now, nobody wins and nobody loses. We just all starting with zero and ending with zero. That's not how life is. Life has consequences. Do you know the first prophetic word from God in the Bible was a statement about victory and defeat? Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, and Adam and Eve had sinned. and it brought the curse of God upon the earth, and Adam and Eve are going to die, and God lines them all up, and God tells them all what's going to happen to them. And he came down to the devil in chapter 3 and verse 15. He said, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head, thou shalt bruise his heel." You know what God was saying in hillbilly language? God was saying there's going to be a great war, and of the seed of the woman, there's going to come forth a conqueror, and he's going to bust your head. What God was saying. You'll bruise his heel, but he's going to bruise your head. God said, "Oh devil, let me tell you something. You're a loser. We're going to win. Yes, there's many battles. Yes, there's many losses and victories along the way. But ultimately, for the child of God, hey, we're on the winning side." First prophetic statement from God in the Bible, you're on the winning side. If you're saved by the grace of God, you have victory by and through the Lord Jesus Christ. But many times those that are saved go on and on with this defeatist attitude towards everything and everybody. Oh, the devil. Now I know, let me tell you something. The devil's no quitter. You got to give him that. The devil is doing this and the devil is doing that. Well, how do you expect the devil to act? You think the devil's just going to stop doing what he's always done? No, sir. He's working overtime. Do you know why? He knows his days are short. He's a working harder than he's ever worked before. He's destroying. He's on the rampage. He's in everything that's going on in the governments of the world, the people of the world. I mean, he's into everything. But he's going to lose. We're on the winning side. If you have the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart, oh, but we walk around, the devil's doing this. All the world is this way and that way. And yes, it is. But at the end of the day, I read the back of the book, and I'm on the winning side. No matter what is going on in the world, the child of God ought to have something that he can be positive about and thank God for, and not live his life in a mental state of being defeated all the time. But I'm telling you, there's a disease of it. I'm reading the book Unbroken, and there's a movie out right now about it, and I'm not promoting the movie. I don't know anything about it, but it's a good book. And Louis Zamperini, he was a Christian. He got saved after World War II, and his life story is just amazing. Well, he was on an airplane, and it went down in the Pacific Ocean, and they floated on a life raft for, I think it was 43 or 44 days. There's three survivors out of 11 men. There's a man named Mac and Phil and Louie. And Mac is the only one that came out of the crash uninjured. But those three ended up on two life rafts together and tied them all together and tried to survive all them days. Now Mac, he ate all the rations the first night. Now, that'd have been my vote to throw him over to the sharks right then. But they said that Mac, right off the bat, even though he wasn't injured, he technically would have had the best chance of survival. All he talked about was dying. We're going to die. And he'd lay around in the life raft and he wouldn't talk to the other two fellas. And he just moaned and complained all the time. And he just knew that he's going to get eaten by sharks or starved to death or something. He died on day 33. The other two never talked about dying. They talked about going home, what they were going to do when they got home. They talked about recipes and things that their mama would make and tried to remember all the ingredients. And they never talked about dying. Mac convinced himself that he is going to die, and he died. The other two convinced themselves that they were going to live, and they lived. Why say that to say this morning? What goes on in your mind does have an effect upon your spiritual state. There is the mentality of winning. Second of all, there are the methods of winning. I could preach a whole series on this. Go to the book of Philippians. Boy, everybody wants to know this out in the world. You go to the bookstore and you can find all kinds of books by people that talk about being successful and talk about winning and victory and all of these things. The book of Philippians is the only book in the New Testament that says anything about winning as far as the word W-I-N. But there's a lot of things in the book of Philippians. We're going to turn there. We're going to talk just a few, going to read a few verses over there in a moment. The methods of winning. Now, I believe I can preach on this and teach on this because I am honest with you this morning. I'm going to share something from my heart. I used to be the biggest loser in my class, academically speaking. I have told it many times before how much when I was growing up, how badly I hated school. And I did. I didn't like it. There's some things I liked. I like lunch and I like PE. And I like reading stories. I did like that. But all the rest of it I could care less about. And I hated school from the first day I ever went, and they put me in kindergarten and didn't let me stay there, put me up in first grade because I was too old for kindergarten. But I'm honest, and I've told it many times, I hated school. And my problem was this: I was lazy. My teachers told me many times, they said, "Wayne, you're not stupid, but we can't cut your head open and pour it in. You're going to have to try." Hey, I'm telling you, I'm being honest this morning. I was lazy, and I hated school. And it was easier at the time for me to sit around and blame everybody else and complain about everything than it was just to try. I remember many, many times sitting there just in my seat and just talking to myself about how bad I hated it and how I didn't understand it and how the teacher didn't explain it right and why they given all this homework and we just did these exercises, we just did these math problems, why? And we did them once, why we got to do it again? Because that's how you learn. I hated all that. But it's just my own problem. I was just lazy. I didn't want to do it. I just like to sit around. And I'm telling you, I knew how to work the system. If somebody would come and do it for me, I'd gladly sit there and listen to them. Because here's how people are. They get fed up with dealing with you and they'll just give you the answers. You ever been that way trying to help somebody to read? And, you know, you act like you can't read, and you finally just read it for them. You get tired of waiting. Same thing, man, that'll carry all the way through college if you can find the right people. I knew how it all worked, and I was likable, I guess. But you know what? I failed the eighth grade. I failed the eighth grade. Now, I'm not proud of that. They let me go on to high school, but we had a big conference with my parents and they told me they probably shouldn't do it. But they let me go on. But I'm telling you, I failed the eighth grade. And right around in that time period, now some of it was pretty gradual, but I just got tired of being stupid. I got tired of blaming everybody else and sitting there like a big dummy and not trying. That got boring after a while. And thank the Lord, one day my T fell off my cane. Know what I mean when I'm saying that? My cane. And I hate that word. I don't use that. I don't say that. I don't like to hear nobody say, "I can't." Somewhere, by the grace of God, I found some can-do. Paul said over in Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 13, he said over there, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I'll tell you, by the grace of God, if you can find some can do in your life, it will revolutionize your life. It'll change your outlook on life. And there's a whole lot of people in the world needs to lose their can't and find some can do. And I'm talking about people in the church. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. The first method of winning, you ought to underline that little tiny word, do. Because I'd lived my life for a long time, don't. But do is a whole lot better. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. The method of winning is not being lucky. But if you are lazy, like I've been in my younger years, it is easy to blame somebody else's success on, well, they're just lucky. The teacher likes them, but he doesn't like me. The coach likes them, but they don't like me. That's easy. That's an excuse. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Do is a wonderful word. And being successful or having victory has nothing with being lucky. You'll notice in life there's a whole lot of successful people that, you know what, they work hard. There's something about working hard that tends to having victory in your life and being successful in your life. I'm not talking about gaining money or things. I'm talking about being successful in life. Look at Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 8. Here's the only place you find the word win in the New Testament. Now look what Paul said. Philippians chapter 3 verse number 8. He said, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. It's the only place in the Bible, in the New Testament, you find the word win. It's only found two times in the Old Testament. One of them is Proverbs 30 and verse number 11, where it says the tree of life is a fruit of, says in the last part of the verse, he that winneth souls is wise. Then the other one is talking about Sennacherib, 2 Chronicles, and he's talking about going down and getting in a battle in some cities, and he thought he may win them. That's only three times in the Bible. Paul said here, I count the loss of all things but dung, that I may win Christ. How is he going to win Christ? What is he talking about? Look over in verse number 9. Or the next verse. He said, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. You know, we start out talking about faith. The righteousness which is of God by faith. Verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I'd already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What he is describing there in those verses is an Olympic-sized effort to win Christ. He's talking about apprehending. He's talking about following after. He's talking about pressing toward the mark. He's talking about a runner at the very end of the race that's going to give all that they have that they might win that race. That's what he's describing there in these verses. He is not talking about being saved. He's already saved by the grace of God. He's talking about winning the prize. He's talking about not the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's talking about pleasing Him who's chosen Him to be a soldier. That's what He's talking about. Living His life for the Lord Jesus Christ and giving His all. The methods of winning, you have to try. You have to work hard. You're going to have to sweat. Hey, you're going to have to not quit. You're going to have to apply yourself. Psalms 90 and verse number 12. So teach us to number our days that we may apply ourselves unto wisdom. Are you applying yourself? You say, I'm saved. I know I'm saved. But could you honestly say that you are applying yourself to the things of God? That takes an effort. That's over and above. That's not sitting around like a toadstool and just taking what comes. That is actively involved. Teach us to apply. Apply. Paul said to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 12, he said, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. In the Christian life, there's a fight. We're told in Ephesians 6, put on the whole armor of God. There's a battle going on. Did you know that? Soldiers, they train, they prepare, they get ready, they prepare themselves. Then they go out to fight in order that they might be successful. We wonder why we're defeated. How much do we apply ourselves? Are we fighting the good fight of faith? Have you ever noticed? Look over in Joshua chapter 1. The book of Joshua, chapter number 1, Moses is dead. Now it's Joshua's turn. Do you know that the Lord told Joshua that in order to be successful, he was going to have to study? You ever notice that? Joshua chapter 1, verse number 8, the Bible said, and here's the Lord speaking to Joshua. No doubt Joshua thought, boy, I got a big job. How am I going to do this? God told him. Verse number 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. He said, Joshua, you're going to have to study. You have to meditate therein day and night. That's studying. Meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Joshua, you want to be victorious? You're going to have to get in the book. You're going to have to be in the book day and night. You're going to have to know the book so well that you will observe to do all the things that are written in my book. And then you'll have success. Then you'll be prosperous. Now, if Joshua had to study to be successful, don't you think we're going to have to? Paul told Timothy, he said, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Boy, there's a lot of things we could say. How do we have victory? You're going to have to observe. You have to work hard. You have to sweat. All them things that people don't like to do. You could study the slothful in the Bible. Proverbs 24 and 30. I went by the field of the slothful. Solomon was a keen observer. And he knew what it was to be successful. I mean, and to have victory. Man, he's the king. He went by the field of the slothful. That's that lazy fella. Solomon said about him, he said, the slothful turneth upon his bed like the door upon its hinges. That lazy fellow won't get out of the bed. He just lays there and rolls over and over. Say, I'd like to have some victory in my life, you're going to have to get out of the bed. You have to not be lazy. You're going to have to apply yourself. You're going to have to quit blaming other people for not having victory in your life. And hey, they used to live by this in America. You're just going to have to go get it. By the grace of God, you're going to have to go after it. You're going to have to change your mind about it. Many things we could say about the methods of winning, but I want us to see also the mentors of winning. That's people that's around you. If we went over to Hebrews chapter number 11, that is called the Hall of Fame of Faith. And all them great people over there, we're not going to turn over there, but I'll just mention some of the people that are in the Hall of Fame of Faith. 1 John 5:4 said, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world." This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So I go to Hebrews chapter 11 and I think about that this morning. Think about all them people in Hebrews chapter 11. Man, what's so great about them? They just had faith and they obeyed God. They found out God's will for their life and they pursued it with all that they had. There's Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses and Joshua and Rahab the harlot and Gideon and Samson and David and Samuel and all the prophets are mentioned over there. Man, what a great group of people to surround ourselves with. They had faith. They're recorded in the Word of God all together as great people of faith. And it says in verse 33 of Hebrews chapter 11, who through faith subdued kingdoms. And it goes on down, talks about all the great things that they did through faith. They believed God, followed God in their lives. And I ask this morning, who is it you're surrounded by? Who is influencing you in your life? And I'm not talking about just somebody that is physically in your presence, but listen to me this morning. The music that you listen to has great impact upon your outlook on life. The programs that you watch on TV, all that stuff is preaching a message to you, whether you realize it or not. The time that you spend on computers and Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all, I don't even understand all that stuff. But I know there's a lot of people, if you call it following somebody. Who are you following? Follow on Twitter, I think it is. Follow on Instagram. People are following all these people. Who are you surrounded by that is influencing and taking up all the time in your life? It's going to have an influence upon you. Who they are and what they're saying and the message that they are giving you. Who are your friends? I've said this 1,000 times. You are now, or you soon shall be, what your friends now are. You show me a man's friends, I will show you his future. Because you're going to act just like them. You're going to be just like them. You're going to pick up on their habits. You're going to talk like them. You're going to think like them. Who are you surrounded around by? Who is influencing us in our lives? Solomon told his children, Proverbs chapter 1 verse 10. He said, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." And sinners are going to entice you. And advertising is going to influence you. And this world has an impact on us, whether we recognize it or not. But who are our mentors? People say, "Oh, I'd like to meet a famous athlete." If you could get Cam Newton to come to church and give a little speech, the whole place would be packed out. But nobody extra would come to hear Nathan Reed. Who's Nathan Reed anyway? That's that missionary we had last Sunday. To me, that's right up there with meeting a modern day Apostle Paul. That charged my batteries. That done something for me. Who you're surrounded by. Who's influencing in your life? The mentors. Last of all, this morning, and I'll close, there's the master of winning. Now, the context, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's read a few verses over there. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I quoted verse number 57. It says this, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." That's a great verse. But you know the context. The verses before and after. What it's talking about. If you're over there, look in verse number 54. "So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." Verse 55, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" The context of verse 57, "Thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." In its setting, it's talking about victory over grave and the death, or the grave and death, having victory over that. Who better to follow than somebody that's already been there and got the victory? The Lord Jesus Christ has already been there. What are you afraid of more than anything else? Most people's afraid of dying. Good news, Jesus, He's already been there. He's already done that. He rose again the third day, victorious. He's coming to get us. Somebody dies, if they're saved by the grace of God, they didn't die. They're living. They're not sick. They're not hurting. They're not wasting away in this fleshly body. They're more alive than they've ever been before. They wouldn't come back for anything in the world. They're all right. We're the ones left to suffer and trudge on until the Lord comes. They're all right. The Lord's already been there. He's already got victory over death, hell, and the grave, and all of those things. And we're just simply asking the Word of God to have faith in Him and to follow Him. He's already proved He's victorious. You ever heard about one of these high-paid coaches? Or maybe they're just a high school coach, but they know how to win. And let me tell you, some of them know how to win. They've proved it in their past record. They've proved it over all kinds of ball players coming and going, over decades in their career. They have proved, buddy, that they know how to win. They've got a drawer full of maybe championship rings. You ever seen some of them rings? Some of them fellas? My goodness. They've got trophies on the wall, all that stuff. And they'll get a new player to come along or a new crop of players, and they'll tell them fellas, they'll say, "Listen to me, I've been here, I know what to do, I know how to win. If you'll follow me, if you'll listen to me, if you'll give yourself to me, we'll have a winning team again. But you'll have to follow me and do what I tell you to do." Do you know the Lord Jesus, as He walked along the Sea of Galilee and He picked out His disciples, do you know what He told them? He said, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." Just follow me. Follow the Lord. He's the master of winning. He knows what it's all about. And He told the disciples, "Just follow me." If you're really saved by the grace of God, and that's a whole nother message in and of itself. If you're saved by the grace of God, you ought not to live a life of defeat. You ought to have some victory in Jesus in your life. And if you are really saved and you're living in defeat, could it be you're not following the Lord? That's always my problem. Could it be you're not You're not in the book. This book will tell you how to live. It'll tell you what to do. It'll tell you where to get victory. Romans chapter 6, for sin shall not have dominion over you, but many times Christians go on and on in sin, and the Word of God says if you're saved, it'll not have dominion over you. You ought to have some victory in this life. If you're saved by the grace of God and you're not following the Master, you're not going to have victory in your life. It's going to be one defeat after another. It's going to be one disappointment after another. It's going to be days and nights and months and weeks and years of torment and going to bed at night saying, I don't know if I'm saved or not. Buddy, I'm telling you, that's miserable. The Bible said in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You ought to know you're saved. You ought to know that you're one of His. You ought to know that you can have victory by and through the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm closing this morning. It's almost New Year's, and I guess that's what got me thinking about this. But do you have any desire in the new year to do anything for the Lord? I do. We ought to. Say, preacher, what do you want to do in the new year? And I'm not a big resolution maker. But if I have anything I desire, I want to follow Him. I want to be used of the Lord. I want this church to be used of the Lord. That includes you. Not the pews, not the carpet, not the pot. That's all just material things. It boils down to us. We're going to follow the Lord. We're going to obey the Lord. Are we going to be in a position where that God can use us? I desire to be a blessing to others and to be a good influence. I think once you have gray hair, that's a sign that you ought to be a good example. And more I see that. That's a big responsibility. People look at you. They look and they're watching everything that we do. Back in 1 John 5 and verse number 4, I close. I'll read those verses again and I'll be done. He said, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. We ought to be overcomers. Not overcome. There's a difference. Overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. That's where it starts. Faith in the Lord Jesus that He can and do all the things He's promised to do in our lives. I like that song. We sing it all the time, Victory in Jesus. It's a reality. I'd like for us to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning.